Welcome to the Sikkim Sportscast. I'm Steve Cook, here with your editor and publisher, Kevin Longquist. And Kevin, it looks like there's a pretty big scrimmage coming up this Saturday.
Well, I would think it would be because, you know, Baylor's in the midst of three scrimmages. They had one April 1st, didn't have one last week because of Easter. They have their second one this coming Saturday at McLean, and then you've got the Green Gold game, which is going to be kind of the, you know, kind of the dress up and have all sorts of fun and whatever in front of a crowd. And I don't know how much Baylor wants to put into that one beyond, you know, going through that stuff. But I kind of think that this one coming up on Saturday will be the one where they're going to really kind of push it. The coaching staff will, to kind of get a better sense as to, do we think we've come far enough along to know who we think might be the starting offensive line? Have we progressed far enough to know to what we think will be our running back rotation? First two guys in, you know, it's all rotation now with that. Same thing with your wide receivers. Is Ketron Jackson going to be the alpha like everyone thinks he can be and like the expectations are for him to be? And then I think it really comes down to what do we want to see out of the quarterbacks in this battle for the starting job between Sawyer Robertson and Blake Shapen. And, you know, you can dress up as much as you want in terms of practices when you're running first team offense against second team defense in, you know, on these days like Tuesday, Thursday. But I think in the scrimmage this coming Saturday, I don't think a decision would come from this, but I think someone has to start to pull ahead if they haven't done so already, but someone has to pull ahead to put themselves in a position saying, I've got command of this offense and I'm ready to take over it. And whether that's going to be Shapen, who probably feels the pressure and has the burr up his you-know-what to get it going, or Robertson, who comes in and feels like he's got a new lease on life because he comes over from Mississippi State because he wasn't going to overtake Will Rogers for the starting job. And Will's coming back, of course, which is partly why he's here. But at the same time, it's an opportunity. So I think he looks at this and says, I can win this job. And he's a bigger guy than Shapen, and he might have the better arm than Shapen, even though everyone loves Blake's arm. But there's always going to be a better arm out there. And I think, again, I think this scrimmage will denote who moves to the front, or at least starts to pull ahead, like I said earlier, in terms of that race.
The spring game is different under Aranda than it was under Rule. Under Rule, they had already done everything they wanted to do. Rule,
right,
I think, would have canceled the spring game if he could have.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. But they went out there and they would do, you know, like a lot of little fun things and stuff like that. Aranda, you know, those guys were really out there and they're really playing, and he'd flip some guys from one side, you know, from the green team to the gold team, and he would do stuff. But those guys were really playing.
Right.
They were really playing football, except, you know, that the quarterbacks weren't getting hit and stuff like that.
Right. I think, you know, Steve, that's a great point because, and it might be, too, that you want to, you only get 15 of these during, you know, when they started March 22nd to where they're going to finish, or it started March 21st, rather, and then they will finish April 22nd. So you only get 15 of these, and you're doing this, you know, three times a week, basically, and you want to maximize everything that you possibly can out of it. And based on the way the season ended for Baylor last year, and probably a sense of urgency because there's so many position battles and so many personnel groups that they've got to get a good feel on who they think will be their starters in these spots, and all of these, that they've got to maximize each one of these. And I think you're right that Dave will treat the green and gold game on the 22nd with some urgency, with serious looks at everything. But I still think it goes back to this scrimmage where they're in the intimate setting. There's no fan festival or anything like that. And I think this is the scrimmage where they've really got to get a really good sense as to where a lot of this is going as they hit the final week of spring ball.
Yeah, and one other thing about the green and gold game is that it's not a game, you know, but it is. Some guys are the same in practice as they are during a game.
Right.
Other guys are different when there's a crowd in the stands. And so that'll give them a chance to see that. The other thing that I'm really going to be looking at when they do the green and gold game is what groups they're playing together.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You know, like, who are the five, which five on the offensive line are they keeping together?
Correct, yeah.
Which of the linebackers do they keep together? Now, on the defensive line, I think if they feel like they've got enough depth, they're going to be rotating guys in and out all game.
See, I think, yeah, and I think you're right on that. And I think the other thing that's interesting is how much will we see Baylor line up in a three-man front? These next two scrimmages, might as well just talk about them both. Three-man fronts and four-man fronts. And again, it's all experimental, and it doesn't mean that you're going to do it once you open up the season against Texas State on September 2nd. But again, it comes back to you've got to start looking at all this stuff because this is the time to do it. And if anyone thinks, you know, and Baylor is not, if this was a veteran team like Baylor was last year, your spring football would be somewhat mundane and you're just reviewing things and that sort of thing. This spring, not that way at all. It's a case where, again, you've got all out position battles because you're replacing the entire offensive line. You're basically replacing the entire defensive front or the main guys in the rotation, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also having to replace a lot in the second. I mean, there's so much they've got in place. And I think the most important thing for me beyond the quarterback race is, as I mentioned a few moments ago, they have got to find that alpha in the receiver group because that's where Baylor was really painfully short in this category last year. And I think, you know, Keetron Jackson is a wonderful talent. I saw him play in high school against Alito in the state playoffs where he had like three touchdowns in that game. Of course, they all came when Alito was way out in front. But he's a guy that I think has the ability to be that guy. And what we saw in previous years with Baylor, like a Tyquan Thornton who was doing it, that sort of thing, and other guys, you just didn't have that in previous years, or last year, I should say. And I think that's where Baylor was really stuck, and there just wasn't that guy to do it. And I think Keetron's got to be the one that sets the tone and gets other guys to follow. And you can really see when you don't have an alpha wide receiver, it really shows how barren you are or how uncertain you are at that position, even though you might have a lot of talent there.
Well, I don't think Baylor's actually had like a true alpha receiver. I think that Thornton was their best receiver.
Right.
But I thought that Mims was the last true alpha they had that this guy could take over a game.
I'd agree with that. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Tyquan, now remember Tyquan's senior year was, he started slow and then he picked it up and then he was much, much better mm-hmm. toward the second half of the 21 season, if I recall correctly. And
yes, he was a lot better. He was good enough that he got drafted.
Yes. Yeah. And he's still got a job at the New England Patriots last I saw. But
that's not bad.
No. And that's what I'm saying is that, so I mean, I would give Tyquan that alpha label in 2021. Of course, they had a great year that year in 2021. But
yes.
But you're right. But I mean, but the guy that takes it to that next level is like your Denzel Mims type of receiver. And Baylor really hasn't had that je ne sais quoi type of guy on that receiver core. And I think Keetron represents the opportunity for that to return. He's got to deliver, of course. He's got to show that he can make great catches, tough catches, whatever, block downfield or whatever, and just show what it takes to be a really bona fide P5 wide receiver. You know, he did it at Arkansas for a couple of years in the shadows of behind a couple of other guys, but he came here because Baylor said, we need you to be the guy.
Yeah, and there is a huge difference between a number one and a number two receiver. They'll kind of forget the number two receiver sometimes, but that number one receiver is going to get their best guy. They're going to get the double coverage. They're going to rotate the protection towards him, and that is why you'll see a lot of guys that are really good number twos that have a very tough time when now the spotlight's on them, and the other team is game planning against them.
So I'm going to be interested to hear, you know, the comments from Dave Aranda coming out of the scrimmage on Saturday, what they got, what they were looking for, where they felt like they might be short, you know, that sort of thing. You know, they got a couple of guys that are out. I think they were hoping that, you know, a couple of guys would be back. I think they were hoping Garmin Randolph would be back for the scrimmage. I think they're also hoping that Kelsey Johnson, the tight end, would be back for the spring game. So if you get Randolph back and if you get Johnson back and they're full participants, you know, if they're limited, then what do you get out of them? I don't really know. But if they're full participants, you know, that's going to be a big thing for them. And so my feeling here is that, you know, here's the positions that I feel where Baylor's really good at. I think they're fine with their tight ends, with Nate Roberts, Kelsey Johnson, Drake Dabney, you know, I think I said Nate, I meant Jake Roberts, excuse me. Nate's his younger brother. But Jake Roberts, Kelsey Johnson, and again, Drake Dabney. That's a really good trio right there. I do like the running back room. Obviously, you know, we've said goodbye to Tay McWilliams, but there's still an opportunity there. Of course, with Dominic Richardson in there, I like that. I like that room pretty well. And I'll dare say this, I'm going to like the safety room, even though there's still some unknowns in there. And I think the reason why I say I like the safety room is because Matthew Pollage is coaching them position-wise as he's the defensive coordinator. And Matthew, if you look at his track record, of course, with what the safeties did with him when he was at Baylor in 2021, then what he did when he was at Oregon, when he was co-defensive coordinator, I think he'll get those safeties to develop and go and take it to another level to where they will reestablish that part of the last tier of the defense.
Quick thoughts on what you're saying. Number one, they better have a good tight end room with the number of tight ends they got on that team. I mean, they got like eight or nine tight ends. That's I have not seen a college team with that many tight ends before.
Well, I mean, if you're going to run a lot of two and three tight end sets in your formations, that's why you need so many tight ends. And, of course, everyone knows that's my favorite position. And if you got a tight end who can only block but then catch that seam route, it's such a great weapon. And I will give him credit for that. So, but yeah, you're right about that.
All right. Now, second thing. All right. I'm going to ask you to throw your money down on the table. Right now, on who starts, I'm going for at quarterback, I'm going to go 55% Roberts and 45% Shapen. I think the big question is going to be,
yeah,
how is Shapen's head?
The only percentage, I'm just going to go 50-50 on this because I don't know which way it's going to go. And I think this scrimmage will probably go along. Of course, we can't see the scrimmage, but I think it's going to be one of those things where, again, as I said earlier, someone's got to surge to the front or start to pull ahead in order to really get a grasp of this. And I think that's going to be important for the race. I think this scrimmage, I'm not saying that when you go to the green and gold game, if you're Sawyer or if you're Blake, that if you've got the lead coming out of the scrimmage, that you go into the green and gold game as the one who takes the first snaps, because that doesn't mean anything per se, you know. And so, but you know, here's the other thing too. As a Baylor has got to manage that quarterback room far better than what it has the last couple of years. When you've lost three quarterbacks like they did last year off your roster, that's not good. And so they've got to learn to balance that whoever surges to the front, that they keep the backup engaged to the point where he's still emotionally and mentally invested in the program. And that's going to be an interesting dynamic to watch, regardless of how spring ends. But more importantly, when the fall camp starts.
All right. Before we jump into our next topic, I do want to mention a little thing that the interview with Caleb Collins yesterday, when he was talking about Kyler Jordan, I was a little concerned about the comments he made. There were too many references to he's not the biggest, not the strongest in there. When he said, oh, he was a great baseball player in high school, okay, who cares? Nobody cares, all right?
Right.
And, you know, so I guess that's just the thing to me. I mean, he's using what's apparently the Baylor catchphrase this spring of he's playing green, and I assume that means good, but
well, green means you're also in it, but green also means you're inexperienced too. So I mean, that's
yeah. So, but anyway, I just those comments concern me a little.
Yeah, I would say that, but again, remember you're replacing an entire linebacker room where you know you don't have a lot of depth. I mean, there's a lot of high expectations for Mike Smith, the transfer from Liberty. to kind of mm-hmm. bring a leadership element and calmness, if you will, to that room. So that's kind of what plays into that. But yeah, I mean, I think linebacker is going to be something to watch with this team. And let me deviate for just a second, because the next transfer portal window opens this coming Saturday, the 15th. Okay. It was originally set for May 1st through the 15th, but it actually starts on April 15th and will run through the end of April, mostly because a lot of spring football seasons are winding down if they haven't been finished already in that respect. So now it's interesting too, because, you know, Baylor's still got a week to go with its spring football. I know for a fact that Alabama is still going through spring ball, and their spring football game won't be until April 22nd. Why do I know that? Because my Crimson Tide's going to it, and she told me about it. Else I wouldn't have not known. But having said that, so while teams are going through spring ball to the portal, and I think one of Baylor's greatest needs in this upcoming portal window is going to be at linebacker. They want to see who filters in there to learn who might be of some value to them that they can add depth to that. And it wouldn't hurt them, as far as I'm concerned, to find another lineman, to find another wide receiver. I'm just saying, find another defensive lineman. You can always look at defensive linemen, because those types of things should help your roster. And I know Dave Aranda talked about how they went to the portal more this year than they did in other years. And I think the important thing is that they're not immune to doing it anymore. Now, Baylor's NIL has to be a part of this, and obviously we know the issues that it has right now with that. But if trying to get that thing on an even competitive playing field with others, but, you know, that's one of the things that we'll have to watch and see. But I do think, you know, Baylor will be active in the portal again starting Saturday. So theoretically, you could have your scrimmage during the day at McLean Stadium and have somebody on your staff on the McLean Stadium check the portal to see who's popping into it. That's going to happen.
So you're saying that they may have the shopping cart out.
They need to.
Yeah. All right. So let's close out with. We had already talked about, like, you know, we've got Chapin, we've got Robertson, and then we've got five guys named Fred that are non-scholarship on there. Baylor's put out offers to several quarterbacks for 24 and 25, and so far they're fishing in a dry hole. Now, serious question on this. Does the wide zone hurt them in getting quarterbacks that have NFL aspirations?
I don't know. Okay, so let me talk about – let's not worry about the 25s, because they're a little ways away, even though Keldon Ryan, the All Saints quarterback, was there at the April 1 scrimmage and has and feels like he's got a good relationship with them, so that's good. But then Deuce Adams said the same thing. The 2024 quarterback from New Braunfels Canyon, and he wound up committing to Louisville last week. And see, if you look at Baylor's offer list for the 2024 quarterbacks, they've offered seven quarterbacks among those signal callers. Offered seven. They've all committed elsewhere. Auburn, Louisville, Wisconsin, you know, that sort of thing. Indiana, I think Indiana's one of them. You know, it's just Texas and Purdue. So it's frustrating, because now Baylor has to do one of two things for its 2024 quarterback situation. Now, they are looking at a kid by the name of Noah Lugo, who is about 6'2", about 185 pounds. He's from Hazlitt VR Eaton, and he does have, you know, some smaller G5 offers. He does have an offer from Indiana on there, so there's your P5 offer representation there. And my guess is that Baylor will probably try to have him down for a scrimmage to look at him more and probably have him come out a little bit more if they seriously want to push him. But again, you're at a point in the quarterback recruiting cycle for this class of 2024 that those guys have made their decision. And as to use your analogy of fishing in a dry hole, there's not too many second tier or third tier guys on the board that Baylor's going to either pursue, much less offer. And so if they can't, then the question is, do they go to the portal? And so the other thing that comes into with the portal opening on April 15th is there a quarterback that they would look at in there? I know I mentioned the other positions, but if there's a quarterback in there that they would look at if they want to add a third scholarship quarterback there, whether or not you redshirt him is another discussion. But I would think that if you're Baylor, you would look at it that way as well. And if you don't get it, and if you don't want to mess with it for this year, you're definitely looking at the portal following the 2023 season, especially if your other choices from the high school ranks or maybe even the JUCO ranks aren't where you want them to be, or you just don't like what you are evaluating.
Yeah, no, the thing you're going to have with quarterbacks in the transfer portal is they're going to want to play.
Yeah.
They're not entering into the portal so they can sit third string.
I mean, that's the Robertson situation. But again, they could now. Again, if you sell it, if you go into the portal and you want to go get a quarterback to be on your 2023 roster, but you've made it clear to him, like saying, look, we've got our 2024 thing set up, but we want you to be part, or we got our 2023 season set up, but we want you to be the 2024 part of the solution or something like that, that's going to be up to that person to either buy it or move on. I think Baylor at least owes it to itself to check that out. But again, more importantly, with the way the quarterback recruiting is going right now, they're probably going to have to go portal after the season if they don't get anything, as I said earlier, if they don't get anything portal-wise that they see or anything from the high school or JUCO ranks.
Okay, you want to close it out for us?
All right, so again, mention the portal. We'll obviously update the list on some recruits that are coming in for the scrimmage this coming Saturday the 15th. Continued coverage of spring ball. We'll obviously have the interviews, probably the transcripts as well from the scrimmage on Saturday. We'll keep you up to date on other recruits that are obviously looking at Baylor. We'll keep watching the basketball transfer portal. Got the one kid from Virginia Commonwealth who seems to be in line with Baylor. Of course, LJ Cryer, as you know, has committed to Houston, and so he's on his way back home. And we will talk to you all next week on the Sikkim Sportscast.